Shabbos Daf Yud Tes. So we bring in a brisa that says that you are allowed to place food before a dog on Shabbos when you're in a chatzar where you can carry. And if that dog takes the food and goes outside, then it's fine because this doesn't look like the isser of causing an animal to do malacha for you on Shabbos. It just looks like an animal is carrying out food. Similarly, you could give a goy, a non-Jew, food on Shabbos, and if he takes it outside of the chatzar, then it's fine, again, because it doesn't look like the Jew is instructing the non-Jew to carry this out for him, just like it doesn't look like the Jew is instructing, you know, the dog, having the dog do the malacha for him. So in both cases, it's fine. But why do we have to teach the same case twice? You're teaching us the general idea that it's fine. It doesn't look like that the Jew is making the non-Jew, the animal, do the malacha for him. So the answer is that because a dog is something that you have to feed. You have to feed your animal, but the non-Jew, you don't have to give him food. So you might think, oh, you know, he's not actually just giving him food to be nice. He's giving him food because he wants him to take it outside. So he's coming to teach us that you can even feed a non-Jew on Shabbos. We have another brace that says that you can't rent utensils to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos, but you can on Wednesday or Thursday. Similarly, you can't send letters with a non-Jew on Friday, but you can on Wednesday or Thursday. Because we don't want them to delay and maybe not deliver the letter. If you send it with them on Friday, they won't deliver it before Shabbos comes. And then they'll be doing malacha on your behalf on Shabbos. And they said about Rabbi Yossi HaKohen that he never sent letters with non-Jews, even, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whatever, because he was nervous that maybe it wouldn't arrive in time before Shabbos. And then the non-Jew would still be doing malacha on his behalf. We have a brisa that says that you can send letters with a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos if you gave them a set fee, because then he's basically doing the work for himself. He's no longer considered an employee of a Jew, like if you gave him an hourly wage. He's kind of just doing it on his own because he already received his set pay. Beis Shammai says there must be enough time for him to reach the house that he's going to before Shabbos. Beis Hillel says he only needs enough time to reach the house nearest the wall of the city that he's going to. But how can Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say this? Because the brisa says at the beginning that he has a set wage, so we don't even need it. It should be fine if he has a set wage to do whatever he needs to do. So rather, the brisa means to say, if he has a set wage, then it's fine. If he doesn't have a set wage, then we get into Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. However, the brisa says that he needs to have a set wage. So how can Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel even be talking about a case where he doesn't have a fixed wage when the brisa says the only way you could do it is if he has a set wage? So rather, the answer is that the non-Jew doesn't need a set wage, if the person that you're sending to is usually found in the city before Shabbos, because then you know that right when he gets to Shabbos, right when he gets to the city, he'll be able to deliver it right away. For example, the Gemara brings down the example of the mayor who's always found in the city, but you're not allowed to send a non-Jew without a fixed wage when the guy you're sending it to won't be there on Erev Shabbos. So that's where the set wage comes in or not. We have a brisa that quotes Rebbe that says you can't go out on a ship 3 days before Shabbos, but this is only for a reshus, only for something optional. You can go for a mitzvah, but you have to tell the captain not to sail on Shabbos. However, it's fine if the captain doesn't agree. He probably won't agree not to sail on Shabbos, but you have to make it known that your intention is that you don't want to be sailing on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says you don't even have to stipulate this, and he also adds that you're allowed to sail from Tyre to Sidon on Erev Shabbos because this was a very short journey and everyone was going to go back and forth for commerce, even on Erev Shabbos, and that's fine. If another bracelet that says that you can't lay siege to a city less than 3 days before Shabbos, but once you started the siege, you don't have to lift it for Shabbos, and Shammai brings in the pasuk for this. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said in our Mishnah that his father would give his white clothes 3 days before Shabbos to the launderer. Rabbi Yitzchak says, yeah, this was the custom of Rabbi Gamliel's house, that for the whites, they would do it 3 days before Shabbos, and for the colored clothes, they would even do it on Erev Shabbos. From this, Rabbi Yitzchak says, we learn that white clothes are harder for a launderer to clean than colored clothes are. A similar story, Abaye was once bringing his laundry to a launderer, and he had colored clothes, and he said, how much is it going to cost? The launderer said, the same as white clothes. He said, well, you can't do that, because the Rabbanim already taught us that it's much more difficult to wash whites than colored, so you should not charge me the same for colored as you would for whites. Similarly, Abaye says on the same topic that you should measure clothes before and after you give them to a launderer. If they come back and they're more than when you started, then that means that the launderer ruined them by stretching them out, and if they come back and they measure less than when you started, then it means that the launderer ruined it by shrinking it. Mishalom Beis Shammai and our Mishnah agree that you could place beams on olives and grapes and leave them over Shabbos to squeeze out the juice. So why does Beis Shammai not make a gzera here? In every other case, Beis Shammai says you can't do a malacha that goes into Shabbos. Why are they not concerned in this case? Because Beis Shammai only makes a gzera for things that you'd be chayav, you'd have to bring a karban chatas. However, there's no karban chatas that you'd have to bring for leaving the beams on the olives and grapes, because if you squeeze the juice out of these chopped olives and grapes, then that is not a deoraisa melacha on Shabbos. So who's the one that taught this Mishnah that it's fine for any liquid that comes out of a fruit on its own on Shabbos? Meaning the planks are just resting there on Shabbos and you're not affecting it. The planks are just there and they're pushing out the juice. So who's the one that teaches that? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says it's Rabbi Yishmael, because we have a Mishnah that says if you chopped up garlic, unripe grapes, or grain and you put beans on them on Erev Shabbos, you put the beams on to weigh them down and push out the juice. Rabbi Yishmael says that you can leave them through Shabbos, and Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to take them off for Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar the Amora says, no, this is Rabbi Elazar the Tana, because we have a mission that says if you broke a honeycomb on Erev Shabbos and you have the honey oozing out, the Tana Kama of this Mishnah says that you are not allowed to eat it on Shabbos, but Rabbi Elazar says you can eat it on Shabbos. So this would seem to say that Rabbi Elazar is fine with juices that ooze out on their own. So why does Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina not say like Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina doesn't like Rabbi Elazar's Mishnah, because in that case it's a honeycomb which started off as honey and ended as honey and it was always a food, but it's different from the grapes and the olives which started as a food and then liquid was pushed out of them. Rabbi Elazar might not be okay with this because it's going from the liquid inside the food to going outside and being outside as a liquid versus our case, the honeycomb, where it's always a food. However, Rabbi Elazar will answer that he has a brisa that says if you put the beams on the grapes and olives on Erev Shabbos, the Tana Kama says you can't have the juice on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar says you can. So even in the case where the grapes and the olives, Rabbi Elazar is even okay with that. Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina just didn't hear this brisa and he didn't know that. So why does Rabbi Elazar not say like Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina? Because regarding that Mishnah of Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yochanan says that everyone agrees that it's usher when the fruits haven't been, when they haven't been pounded, which is the first step in the process of extracting the juice. So everyone agrees when the fruits haven't been pounded, that's usser. They only argue where the fruits haven't been mashed, which is the last step of the fruit of extracting the liquid. So basically, in the case of our Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel holds that the beams are only speeding up the process. They're not doing the actual malacha, because they've already been crushed, meaning that the beams are just speeding up the process, because the liquid was coming out anyway because they've already been crushed. You've already started the process. And when Rabbi Yishmael allows it, it's not because he allows you to do this on Shabbos. It's just because he's okay with the beams hastening the process. So that's why Rabbi Elazar doesn't feel comfortable using this case. However, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina still ruled in a case like Rabbi Yishmael. So the oil of olive pressers, which is basically the oil that was left over in the vats that was given to them as their wage, and the mats of the olive pressers, which would cover the olives, Rav says the oil and the mats of the olive pressers are usher to move on Shabbos, because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who's much more strict about muksa, and Shmuel says it's mutter, you're allowed to move them on Shabbos, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon, who's a lot more lenient regarding muksa. Muksa is moving things around on Shabbos that have no purpose or use, so that's very, you know, basic definition, but it's moving things around on Shabbos that have no use. So the mats that are used to cover the ship's cargo, Rav says they're usher to move, Shmuel says they're mutter to move, Rav Nachman says if you have a goat that's kept for its milk, sheep that are kept for their wool, a hen that's kept for its eggs, an ox that's kept for plowing, and dates used for selling, Rav says they're usher to move, you can't move them. Shmuel says it's mutter, you are allowed to move them. And again, Rav throughout all of these holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that, who's much more strict when it comes to muksa, and Shmuel holds like Rabbi Shimon, who's much more lenient when it comes to muksa. This was a student who ruled in a case like Rabbi Shimon, and Rav Huna, upon hearing this, excommunicated the student. But why did he excommunicate him? We hold like Rabbi Shimon. So what was the student doing wrong by ruling like Rabbi Shimon? The reason was, the problem with what he did was that it was in Rav's jurisdiction, and we know Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, so the student should not have ruled like Rabbi Shimon. There were two students that were in a house that caught fire. One salvaged only one container of food and drink, because he held like Rav Huna, who says that you're only allowed to salvage a total of 3 meals worth of food in separate containers from a burning house, and this guy had 3 meals worth of food in the one container, so based on Rav Huna, he couldn't take out any more. However, the other student went and salvaged several containers of food and drink, because he held like Rav Bar Zavda says that you could put many containers into one big container, even if that exceeds three meals worth of food and drink. The next Mishnah says that you can't roast meat, onions, or eggs on Erev Shabbos, on Friday, unless there's time for it to be fully roasted before Shabbos. You can't put bread in the oven unless there's time for the surface to crust. Rabbi Lazar says, no, the bottom has to crust before Shabbos, but you're allowed to lower the Karban Pesach into an oven and let it roast into Shabbos. You can light the fire of the fire chamber in the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Shabbos and let that go through Shabbos. However, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you can only light a fire if there's enough time for the fire to catch onto most of the wood before Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says, regarding a fire that's fueled by charcoals, you can light it before Shabbos as long as the charcoals light slightly, because since charcoal is so flammable, you know it's going to catch very, very quickly. Shkayach.